Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
There has been international outrage about the Russian missile strike near the train station in Kramatorsk in the Donetsk region in Ukraine. Thousands of people were at the station during the attack, as residents of the Donetsk region are being evacuated to safer regions of Ukraine. The number of casualties is growing, with the latest report saying that 50 people have died, including up to 10 children and 98 people injured at this point. A short time ago, I spoke with Roland Oliphant, a senior foreign correspondent with The Telegraph, and I asked him to give me the latest on this shocking attack in Kramatorsk.
Latest information from the Donetsk region administration is 50 people confirmed dead, including 5 children. That includes 12 people who died of their wounds in hospital, which would leave you, if my maths are correct, with about 86 wounded people still alive from this attack. So those are the basic statistics that we know at the moment.
And we're told this is a key railway station in Kramatorsk, where people are basically trying to evacuate and flee the region.
Yeah, exactly. So Kramatorsk is one of the major towns that has remained under Ukrainian control in Donetsk region since 2014, when the war began. Its train station is one of the major stations serving a very large area that links up to Kiev. And essentially, the Ukrainians, or the world, is expecting a very large battle for all of Donbass unfolding in the next couple of weeks. And the government has told civilians to get out while you still can. So the city council says there are about 4,000 people queuing on the platforms and in the car park waiting for evacuation trains when this strike happened. There's not really any way the Russians could not have been aware of that, to be quite honest, because this has been going on for a couple of days. I mean, like as recently as last night, this train station was really crowded. So whoever fired this missile, as far as I'm concerned, most likely knew what they were doing.
The Russians are denying it, though, aren't they?
Well, they would, wouldn't they? They lied about MH17 when they shot that down. They lied about Russian troops in Crimea when I was interviewing Russian troops in Crimea, who said, "Hi, I'm a Russian soldier." You know, doesn't mean anything. I mean, they've turned around and said, "Oh, we don't have." The Russian Ministry of Defense said today, "Oh, it can't have been us because only Ukraine has Tochka ballistic missiles." Well, the Russian Ministry of Defense's own television channel, Zvezda, published a report about Russian troops training with Tochka-U missiles in February, a week before this invasion began. It's a lie. It's a flat-out lie.
And given the situation that it's a railway station where people are obviously trying to get out, civilians trying to get out of a region before an intensified attack, is there any other way, Roland, of looking at this as, you know, other than the Russians targeting civilians?
I struggle to find it that way. I suppose there is some chance that maybe they thought it was a military target. I mean, if so, it's just a catastrophic blunder in intelligence, which I find difficult to put past them. The Ukrainian authorities certainly believe that this is deliberate. The city council and the administration in Donetsk have said quite bluntly in a briefing today that we think they did this because they don't want the evacuation to go ahead. They've been targeting other parts of the railway system. They want people to stay. I'm not exactly sure why, but one of the ideas being floated is that they essentially want human shields. They want civilians to be there when this battle unfolds to kind of hinder Ukrainian use of heavy weapons and defence, and as a kind of propaganda tool that they can later turn on.
Roland, we're following really carefully your reporting, and one of your tweets I found extremely distressing. Can you tell people of the rocket that was found with the sign on it?
This rocket is a kind of ballistic missile that carries cluster munitions. So it drops the munitions, and then the carcass of the missile lands elsewhere, which means after attacks like this, you quite often find like a large chunk of the missile fairly undamaged, except from like the impact of when it came down. So they find the carcass of this thing, quite nearby. And what's written on it in large capital letters in Cyrillic is the words "for the children." Which is pretty clear. It's the kind of thing soldiers write on shells or bombs or something. The message is, we think Ukrainian fascists kill children, so this is our revenge for that. At least that is the most charitable reading of it. A more cynical reading might be that it was a deliberate message that we're going to kill children. I find that a little bit hard to believe. I think the soldiers probably believe the Russian propaganda they're being fed. And Russian propaganda says this war is taking place because Ukraine is run by a bunch of Nazis, and Nazis kill children, and our soldiers have been sent there to liberate them.
And this is likely to get worse, Roland, isn't it? You alluded to it, the intensification of Russian strikes in the eastern region, the Donbass region. It's going to get worse by all accounts.
That is the very widespread expectation. So, as you know, the Russians basically abandoned their attempt to capture Kiev over the past week. They've withdrawn their troops from the north. That is uncontestably something of a victory for the Ukrainians, just the fact the Russians decided to give up on that attack. But their focus now, and they've said it's their focus, and I think they're being truthful about that, is the Donbass, which is the official reason for this war in the first place. So what we're expecting is for a big, big Russian effort to try and surround the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, cut off the massive Ukrainian forces concentrated there, destroy them, conquer those territories, essentially, and present that as a victory back home. The Russians absolutely determined they have to achieve this. It's an existential war for both sides at the moment. I mean, it's not existential for Russia as a state, I don't think, but I think it is existential for the long-term survival of Vladimir Putin's government. Mm-hmm. So he's going to put in a lot of effort. Everybody is bracing for an absolutely enormous, enormous battle of encirclement. I mean, the Ukrainian foreign minister has alluded to kind of something out of World War II. I think that it's going to be nasty.
Yeah, it could be horrific indeed, heaped upon what we've seen already. Look, Roland Oliphant, senior foreign correspondent with The Telegraph, thank you very much indeed.
And as we've been hearing from Roland there, there has been international outrage about the Russian missile strike near the train station in Kramatorsk in the Donetsk region in Ukraine. But for more reaction to this, we're joined now from Ukraine by MP Lesya Vasilenko. And you're very welcome, Lesya, again to the programme this evening. I might first get your reaction to that attack in Donetsk on the train station.
Yes, good evening. Well, the attack is just another crime of war, a war crime, a crime against humanity that Russia is committing all over Ukraine. Wherever the Russian soldiers set foot, they are bound to commit war crimes. It's as if they were handed out the Geneva Conventions and told to break every single rule in the rule book.
We heard Roland there speculating that perhaps Russians don't want people to leave because the army would like to use them, the civilians living in Donetsk, effectively as human shields, so that the Ukrainian army would have a limited range of options when it comes to attacking because the civilians are still there. What do you think of that?
The practice of human shields has been used by the Russians in the Kyiv region when they were attempting to take on Kyiv. So I wouldn't be surprised by that. Another option and another practice that they employ is to get the civilians and take them hostages and then use them as currency to exchange for Russian soldiers who are taken hostage by the Ukrainian army. Another option is to keep the population in utter terror and thus to put pressure on the Ukrainian government in Kyiv to cede territories and to make other secessions to Russia in the negotiations. So all options are viable. All options have already been used by Russia in these 43 days of escalation and in the 8 years of war. We can expect anything, and I would like to say that we are prepared for whatever there is to come. But every single time Russia hits us with yet another atrocity and a new level of violence that we Ukrainians never even thought possible, that human beings could exercise such violence.
What do you think are the options now for people living in Donetsk? They've been told by their own government to get out if they can at all. And yet, as we saw, thousands of people trying to get out and now this attack on the train station. Are there many routes out of Donetsk still available to people?
Well, just to clarify, we're not talking about Donetsk, because Donetsk has been under Russian occupation since 2014. We are talking about the Donetsk region. Okay. And the cities in the Donetsk region, it depends which one you're talking about. Kramatorsk really is reliant on the train station. This is how it is connected to the rest of Ukraine. Otherwise, it is also possible to use the roads. I mean, the highways and the village roads, but our Ukrainian government is encouraging the civilian population to get out as quickly as possible while the roads are still available, while they're still under Ukrainian control and not blocked off by heavy fighting.
Of course, Russia, in reaction to this attack, said that it was Ukraine that launched these missiles. I don't know what you think of that.
Yeah, but they say a lot of lies, let's put it mildly. This is what Russians do. They lie to the world. They lie to their own people. They lie to whoever comes into a conversation with them. This is why I don't really see the point of having any kind of conversation with them, because they are either delusional or they're doing it on purpose. But, they choose to believe their own propaganda. Putin and his government have done everything possible to isolate the Russian people from informational networks, from international informational networks, and now they are free to tell all kinds of tales of their own choosing. And really, what they are saying, when we Ukrainians hear it, for me, for example, it's offensive to be hearing those words. I mean, we're talking about death of people. Kramatorsk was 50 people, and still they are counting. Four of these people were children. I mean, to deny that there was an attack, and to deny that anything is actually happening in Ukraine of the extent, it's just dishonor. It's dishonorable to the people. It's absolute. It's another form of offense.
Okay. Finally, Lesya, Ursula von der Leyen is in Ukraine today. Footage on social media of her visiting Bucha, and she's meeting President Zelensky as well. What do you want the EU to do now?
Well, I would love to see more sanctions come in, and like proper sanctions, not what they have adopted yesterday. Because at the end of the day, it's all good and very honourable to be appalled and to be condemning over everything that Russia is doing. But this is just words if they're not supported by action, and they're not supported by action because at the end of the day, the EU spends some 800 million euros a day on Russian oil and gas and energy resources. That is over 35 billion euros that the EU has spent in the last 43 days of this war that has escalated to absolutely inhumane capacities. And condemning is not enough in such a situation. I mean, they need to stop buying oil and gas from Russia. They need to switch off all Russian banks from the SWIFT because all of this weakens Russia from the inside and incapacitates them in buying more weapons and in producing more weapons and paying the salaries to the soldiers who are killing Ukrainians. There's no other way.
Lesya, thank you very much, as always, for joining us. That's Lesya Vasilenko, who is an MP, speaking to us from Ukraine. We'll take a break.